This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Colorado State. Wow. Shocked. They won. They beat UNLV in Las Vegas. Now, they beat UNLV before, but they beat them on the road. Had weird travel issues. We're going to charter to Vegas, then had to go back home. Had a bunch of players down, a bunch of guards down. Found a way. We'll have Ali Farokhmanesh on in about 10 minutes to talk about that big victory for Colorado State. Team USA wins in overtime over Sweden. Michael, what a game that was. A lot to talk about today. The Nuggets are back in action. Can we expect a march to the title next? We'll talk about it. The whole show starts now. Welcome into the whole show powered by Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado. I am Brady Hull. We've got Michael Kirkpatrick, the 437th, I believe, on the other side of the bulletproof glass. And Michael, we got women's hockey coming up here for gold in just a moment. I'm on the wrong channel. Are you on the right channel? Are you on hockey right now, or are you on figure skating? I'm on figure skating.
I think I'm on figure skating. I thought I saw it was on Peacock.
Well, how do I get that? How do I do that?
www.theinternet.com.
And that'll take me to it. Why isn't it on the regular channel?
I don't know. I guess women's hockey isn't that popular, and boring ice skating is popular.
What is that woman wearing on the right?
I think she's wearing a disco ball.
Well, no, the one on the right. She's like got
feathers. I think she's wearing an animal.
She's got feathers like a peacock, maybe? That's interesting.
Oh, maybe she is. She's
figure skating
like wearing
is,
a brown
is about
peacock.
Style.
Maybe she's celebrating peacock and promoting women's hockey.
Ah, there you go. Yeah, that's probably what she's doing.
You got like a little faux hawk.
Colorado State beat UNLV 91-86 last night. No Josh Pascarelli. No JoJo McIver. It's okay. Darnez Slater. Darnez A.C. Slater came in. Now, again, you're going to look at the stat line, and you're going to think, that's not an amazing game. Why are you freaking out about Darnez Slater? Because the dude hadn't scored since December 20th. He's a freshman. He was a redshirt freshman last year, didn't play. They have high hopes for this guy, but he probably wasn't part of the immediate plans this year. But because they were short-staffed, he came in and he made some critical plays. He had a key layup late in this game to almost kind of put this, not necessarily out of reach, because it got scary. It got scary down the stretch. The Rams cut down on the turnovers, but they had some critical turnovers late against UNLV, and I was worried. I was worried, but I'll tell you this right now, being honest with you. Did not think the Rams were. I was starting to back away to the thought that this first year for Ali Farokhmanesh is going to be what we call a learning year for everybody. Not that Ali needs to learn. I'm not like saying that, but I thought this would just be okay. The transition. At the beginning of the season, I was optimistic. Then as we progress, this might not have the dudes this year. Jorgensen and Memba were hurt for a good chunk of the Memba for the non-con, and then Jorgensen went down once they started conference schedule. So I started to kind of just give in and say, all right, this would be fun to watch some of these young guys grow, but I'm not expecting anything. A win like that. Now, it's not like UNLV is the top of the conference. You know, but that's a decent team, and you got to go on the road. I didn't expect the Rams to get it done. And somehow, especially when I'm seeing Josh Pascarelli's out, you got a starter out, and then backup point guard JoJo McIver's out. I'm hearing Kevin tweet about travel issues, and I didn't think they could do it, but they're doing it right now. And we'll have Ali on here in just a moment. John for Fun says game is on USA Network. What channel is that? 30?
Channel 30, yes.
I'm on it now.
I just noticed it too.
Why isn't it
also
clicking
on it?
Why isn't it going there? There we go. Has it started yet?
I don't think so.
I'm excited.
I believe it's still in pregame.
We're gonna bring. There's a cord hanging over the TV. Mike, can you get that? Can you fix that? Can you come here and fix that?
I will do.
I can't see the TV. I can barely see the TV. There's a cord on top of the TV, Mike. I don't know what I'm gonna do. Just lift that up, kind of over the flap. Thank you, Michael. Thank you. Yeah, that's perfect. Oh, I can see everything now. That is good. Yeah, that's a great TV, by the way. Very, very large. Very large. 11:11 is the time. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Coming up next, we'll pause from hockey talk, from women's hockey. It's 0-0, did just start. But we're going to catch up with Ali Farokmanesh coming up next, Mike. But first, let's take a short break here because we want to get him on now. Head coach of Colorado State coming off of a big win and four straight for the Rams. Are the Rams getting hot? Are the Rams starting to turn some heads? Maybe. Big one on Saturday. It's the whole show. We'll be right back.
For Avalanche games and talk, keep it on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Terry Fry, author, journalist, screenwriter, and you're listening to Brady Hull on The Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
My favorite rendition of the Colorado State Rams fight song, and we're playing it because the Rams got a big dub last night, 91-86 over UNLV. Joining us now on our First Advantage Hotline, head coach of the Colorado State Rams, Ali Farokmanesh. Coach, my friend, I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry. I saw the injuries. I heard about your travel stuff. I didn't think it was going to happen. And you pulled it off. You can shun me now for the rest of our careers, Coach.
No faith, Brady. No faith.
Never again, man. Never. I'm sorry. At least I'm telling you. You know, I'm being honest.
No, exactly. No, our guys battled though. I thought they had the right mindset heading into the game, and honestly, they've had 3-4 weeks of like high level practices and preparation that. I think that's the reason why we're playing at a higher level than we had been earlier in the conference season. And we kind of told them, like, you got to be cockroaches at the end of the day. Like, cockroaches can live in any environment. Doesn't matter where they are. They are in every environment. We don't want to be pandas. Pandas only live in one place.
This is my favorite thing ever. I want this all the time. This works for me, by the way. This would absolutely work. You had these. Talk to me about these travel troubles, though. I mean, you had some weird issues just trying to get to Las Vegas.
Yeah, we had a delay with the plane that was coming to get us. It got in almost three and a half hours later than it was supposed to. Then it got here, and then a part broke, so we got stuck on the plane.
Wow.
And then JoJo McIver was on the plane and got sick, and so he had to leave. And then, and we've had three other guys get the same sickness throughout the last week. So then we got up the next morning, and so we had an option to fly that night. Still, just we would land at like 1:30 in the morning in Vegas, which like our guys don't really. They don't really go to bed till midnight anyways for the most part, so it wouldn't have been a big deal for them, but we decided against it, so we'd let them sleep in and then leave. But then the plane ended up we had to be in the air by 8:45, so then we had to get them up at 7:15. that whole plan went out the window too, but we got there, and honestly, once we got there, the routine was the same, so then it felt pretty normal after we landed. It was just everything up to that point was not normal.
What's going through your mind when all this stuff is happening? Because I hear about this a lot where, you know, there's just travel issues, and it's sometimes it's just out of your control. I mean, how important is that for you in that moment to just try to stay level-headed and try not to panic?
Yeah, like I don't know. You probably have to ask our ops person, Landry Moffitt, that. But I feel like I don't really panic in those situations. And I don't know if you tell your guys to control the controllables and you're worried about planes and everything else that goes into this, that you have no control over at all. I'm lying to them then. I'm not practicing what I preach. So you gotta roll with the punches, and you gotta be tougher than your problems at the end of the day. And I think that's kind of the message that we've been sending our guys. There's always problems. There's always issues. There's always something you could complain about, but it does nothing for you.
Yeah, well, and then you mentioned it with JoJo McIver, guys getting on the plane and then he's sick. You said it's kind of going around. We hear Josh Pascarelli dealing with that ankle still. He's out. So you're battling through all these different elements, and then you got to go play a tough Mount West team on the road in UNLV. And you guys found a way. This was a fun game to watch. This was so, and you guys pretty much controlled it throughout. It was a blast to see this Rams team clicking and dudes just stepping up.
Yeah, no, and I mean that UNLV team. Us two, besides Utah State, we had the longest win streaks in the conference up to that point. So they had won three in a row. We had won three in a row at that point. They were coming off a big road win at Boise State, so we knew it was going to be a battle, and Dre Gibbs-Lawhorn's been playing out of his mind. He's averaging 30 over his last five games right now. Wow. So, and he played well against us again. He on 21 shots, he had 31 points. So we withstood that as well. But it was a fun game, and obviously it's always fun when you win. But I thought the nature that we did it in, I thought we executed at a high level. We're cutting better than we ever have. We're screening better. The ball movement's probably the best I've seen it from this group, even in a non-conference. So it's fun to see them playing the way that I believe that they could from the start of the season, and they're starting to continue to buy in just more and more. And guys are making plays. And at the end of the day, like, your dudes got to be dudes, and you got to let them go. And I think it's been showing up. Our guys are trusting each other and making plays for each other.
As you say that, I'm just picturing Jevon Muniz and what he was doing last night. I mean, it just seemed like he was. You're saying you got to let guys go sometime. He was out. He was on one. He was having one of those games. He was hitting threes. He was getting into the lane. He was everywhere.
Yeah, I think. You try to give these guys confidence and belief in themselves too, because at the end of the day, we're only as good as our individual guys on our team. That makes the collective whole better. And Jevon was playing he was playing really well, and I thought he was taking the right shots too. Like he wasn't forcing anything, and I thought that was the most impressive thing, to score the ball the way he did and not force a single one of those actions. That's hard to do, and it was impressive watching him. And even Brandon, to a certain extent, I mean, he was like 8 for 11 at one point, he wasn't out there forcing anything. And I think that's a sign of maturity from this group too, that they really trust each other, that they give the ball up, that they keep cutting and moving. It usually ends up coming back to them at some point.
Yeah, well, let me ask you about this one too. There was a moment in this game, I believe it was in the first half, but Rashawn Bemba, he kind of, like a defensive player kind of hits his knee or something. His leg like spread out in a really weird way. He went down for a brief second, then got up, hit both free throws. I mean, we know about his injury history and stuff. What's going through your mind when you see him go down? Because that on the camera angles we were seeing, that did not look good.
No, and you know, I can probably say this because it's Rashawn. Because Rashawn, and I've been with him for 3 years. That happens like once a day. Like there's usually some type of fall from Rashawn that you're like, oh my gosh, like it's over.
You're just used to it now.
And it still scares me. But yeah, he's good for an awkward fall at some point, basically every game, where you are literally holding your breath.
Yeah, I mean, as soon as I saw that, I'm thinking, man, here we go. That's going to be a rough one. You're already down a bunch of dudes. But he gets right up, makes free throws, and, you know, the rest is history. Coach Darnez Slater, man, you've talked highly of him. We haven't seen him a lot in action, and, of course, we didn't see him at all last year. He had some critical moments, some great moments in this game last night. Talk to me a little about. I'm going to start calling him AC Slater because I'm a big Saved by the Bell guy, Coach. I'm trying to start that trend. I hope I can count on your support.
I'll try running that with him today. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, he's a stud.
Dark Ez was great. Like he was phenomenal. I thought we knew we were going to play him somewhere between 14 to 20 minutes, and he ended up right at 18 minutes. And we put him in at the end of the game, even in crunch time when we were trying to take care of the basketball unsuccessfully at times. But you just trust him. I mean, that's what I came away with at the end of the day is like. Usually, guys want coaches to trust them. Well, you got to prove it to me at some point, whether that's in practice and games. You earn that right to be trusted, and he earned that right last night. I thought he made the right decisions, right plays. Didn't play outside of himself at all. Had a huge, small little details, but had a huge wall up in transition. And then that back cut to put us back up. I think it was back up 10 or 8 in the last minute and a half, 2 minutes. Was massive. And I think that's the thing with Darnez is you always say this. And I remember David Roddy saying this. Like I told him when he was kind of going through it with in the NBA about stay ready, like your time's coming, stay ready, the opportunity's coming. And he hated that, right? It's the most cliche thing to say, but there's a reason why it's cliche. Like you have to stay ready. And it's one of the hardest positions to be in basketball and any sport is staying ready and staying prepared, not knowing when that time's going to come, and there's a possibility it never comes. And I think for Darnez to stay in that state of mind and that frame of mind to be ready to go, to be able to perform like that after not really playing at all in the last 8 games, that was so impressive. And I'll always remember that. And it'll be a story I'll probably – you always have those stories eventually you tell your next line of players about former players and whatnot. And that's one I'll always tell about Darnez is it didn't play for 8 games. And literally if we don't have him, we don't win that game last night.
I just get this feeling. And again, I'll ask you about what you're looking like with his minutes going forward. But I just get this feeling Slater's going to be one of those guys in a few years. We're going to look back at February 18th and say, man, it might have started then against UNLV. That was a lot of guys get in those situations and they press because they're like, man, I got to impress here. But he was patient. And that back cut you're talking about, that, you know, we can talk a lot about a game winning three or a fadeaway, whatever, crazy defensive play. But the smarts he had in that moment to stay calm and then to make that play, I mean, it was huge. It's a monster play.
No, absolutely. It's sometimes it's the simplest things on offense and the fundamental plays that win you games. And that was one of them right there. I mean, we had a great drive, played off 2 feet, and Darnez saw the opportunity to make the cut when the guy turned his head. And man, it was a really good play. I was probably one of the most exciting parts of the game for me. Like I love the threes and I love the highlight plays and the Kerry Boost tip dunk and whatnot. Yeah, yeah. But I'm always a sucker for a good burn cut on someone.
I had to go back and rewatch that several times. I just wanted to see kind of where he started in that play and then where he finished. It was poetry. It was basketball poetry. Coach, what do you see for him in for the immediate future? I mean, is that one of those games where it's like, dude, you earned it. Now we're going to find a way to just keep adding more minutes for you. It's hard to do.
Yeah, I mean, and especially with Josh out right now, there's not really a choice anyways. So that makes it easier for me, but I'll always take those problems. If guys are forcing my hand to find minutes to play them that benefits our team and can help us win games, I will take those problems every day of the week. I'd rather have it that way than the other way.
And any updates on a guy like Josh Pascarelli? Are we expecting a few more games, maybe a few more weeks?
I don't know right now. It's day to day, so he's moving around. He's running and jumping right now, so. I'm not going to rule out Saturday at all, but it's Madison, our trainer, does such a good job with our guys, preparing them, making sure they're ready to go. Also, she pushes them, but at the same time, I don't want to put a guy in a position that he could get hurt more and end up being out longer than what he needs to be right now. So we'll figure it out one way or the other. JoJo will be back, though. His sickness was nice little 24-hour one, just to miss the game. So that was nice of him. But we'll reevaluate it, and I got to trust. I'm a basketball coach, not a doctor, so I got to trust the people that I'm surrounded by.
Well, and I like to hear you say that too. Even if a guy might seem like he's ready to go, you want to be really careful because we've seen it, college game, pro game. If you put him back, even when they're saying that they feel like they're good to go, you can see another injury shortly after that, and then it could be worse, could end your season.
No, exactly. So we're not gonna force the issue with it. Obviously, you'd want Josh back, but if he is back, I'm not gonna complain about it. But if he isn't back, I'm not gonna complain about that either.
Coach, man, fun to watch you guys. Never again. Never again. I'm predicting the Rams. I don't think you'll ever lose the rest of your career. How about that? I don't think it's happening.
I think, Brady, we just don't say anything because it seems like you're just wrong.
Can
we just cheer?
It's hard for me. I get a little cocky sometimes. And as soon as I put that tweet out, I think you guys had a couple of turnovers late, and I'm like, oh, crap. I am going to 100% get blamed for this. There's no doubt. But you pulled it off, so you saved me some face for me, Coach. So thank you. I appreciate that.
Absolutely. No problem, Brady. We try to make it exciting at the end,
you got to keep the heart going. I understand. Yeah. Coach, congrats. Nice dub. Good luck to you guys. Big one coming up against San Diego State this weekend. So we'll be looking forward to that one. Zero predictions for me. I'm not doing anything. So don't you worry.
I appreciate it. All right, man. I appreciate it. Just wear some orange. We'll be good.
We'll be good. I'll be good. I promise. Michael's got orange on back there already. So we're ahead of the game. Congrats, Coach. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks, Brady.
All right, man. Ali Farouk Manesh. Like Ali and I know him well enough. So I texted him last night after the game. And because I was obviously self-serving, I'm wanting to get him on the show. And I said, hey, man, full disclosure, totally did not think you were going to win this game. And I'll be honest, Mike, the game started at 9 o'clock. I was like, do I want to watch this? Are the Rams just going to lose this game? They're down Pascarelli. Kevin's putting out that JoJo McIver's sick. And I just go to bed. And then it's close. It's close in the first half, so I stayed up. What are you wagging your finger? I stayed up late. I did doubt, but I'm not like you. I can't just go, oh, I believe they're going to win every game. I didn't think it was going to happen. They got it done. Darnell Slater, you big Saved by the Bell guy? You ever heard of Saved by the Bell, Michael? A.C. Slater?
I saw one episode.
You stopped after that? Or did you like it so much you're like, it's not going to get any better. You can't be, any greater than what I just saw. And then you stop. Saved by the Bell was a great show. Smart show. Mr. Belding. Zach Morris. A.C. Slater. Screech. Mike.
He died.
Yeah, he did. The actor did. Yeah, but not in the show. They didn't kill off Screech. There was Kelly. Jesse. Lisa.
Boomhauer.
That's King of the Hill. But from now on, Darnell Slater, just because he's cool, is going to be A.C. Slater now. That's the way it is. So I'm hoping we can start that trend, Rams fans. I'm hoping that we can count on your vote there as we build this up for Colorado State. Big game coming up against San Diego State tomorrow, though. Or Saturday. Saturday, I believe. San Diego State is 12-3 in the conference, 18-7 overall. I think they're second in the Mountain West. Coach just said it, man. They and UNLV were like the only teams in the conference at the time that were on a three-game win streak. This thing can turn around pretty quickly. If they keep it competitive against San Diego State, I might think that maybe CSU can go on some kind of a run like they did last year. And listen, man, I had a texter reach out a couple weeks ago saying, don't give up on CSU. They could go on a run like they did last year. I think they won like their last 11 or something. And then they won the tournament, the Mount West tournament, got into March Madness, won a game in March Madness. And I said, the problem is you don't have a Nate Clifford. You don't have that guy on this roster. Muni's looked really freaking good last night. And Coach just said it. Sometimes you just got to... He was stealing from Adazio there. Sometimes you just got to let dudes be dudes. And that's what those guys were doing last night. So I loved what I saw. I'm color me impressed. And I'm like all in. I don't care if it's at 9 o'clock. I don't care if the game starts at 11 o'clock. Mike, we're watching it, and I expect you to do the same. 33 minutes after the hour. Let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local sports flash.
There's only one feeling like knowing your banker personally, like growing up with a bank you can count on, like being sure what you've earned is safe, secure, and local. There's only one feeling like knowing you're supporting your community. You deserve more from a bank. You deserve an institution that stood strong for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
What's up, hooligans? This is Zach Stevens with DNVR Broncos, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the 11 o'clock hour. Welcome back to The Whole Show, powered by Mosquito Joe. We've got it's Thursday, Mike. State wrestling starts in at Ball Arena in Denver. We're going to have, is that 5 o'clock, 5 to 6? Michael Bruce Dick will be hosting Beyond the Mat coming up later today, where he'll be talking wrestling and getting great interviews on with these wrestlers and coaches. 5 o'clock?
That is correct, 5 to 6. And then he'll be out in Roosevelt, Johnstown, calling a game with Kyle.
Busy day for Coach Bruce Dick. He's got to practice too, so he's going to deal with his team, and they're cooking. And then he's going to do the state wrestling show, and then he'll be broadcasting some high school basketball. Mike, we got it right here for you. And then Tanner Schwinn, I believe, is going to be doing state wrestling updates throughout the day today.
Yes.
So it's always awesome. I did not wrestle in high school. I wrestled in junior high. I seriously debated wrestling. I thought about it, but I ended up going for basketball instead. But I was, a manager in junior high for the wrestling team because I was interested. I didn't do peewee wrestling, but I wrestled in junior high. So I was all right at it, started to really like it. So my parents thought it would be a good idea if I hung around like the high school team a lot. And I was kind of the manager. So I'd practice with them. I'd have my practice in junior high, which was during school, and then I would go to their practice. And, oh, my gosh, dude. Wrestling practices were just insane. They were intense. And I loved it. So I would go to state wrestling during those years. And I don't know if there's – like, that is such a cool sports setting. To have all the mats stretched out, taking over the floor at Ball Arena, and just have random matches going on throughout the day. It is there's nothing like it, man. It's a really cool, probably the best high school type tournament there is state wrestling.
I would love to disagree with you, but I can't.
Because you've never been. And I'm guessing
I'm just saying, like, there's so much going on. Like, volleyball is a good tournament because there's a lot of games. Basketball, there's a lot of games, but there's only so much going on at a time. With wrestling, everything's going on all the time.
There's matches going on all the time. Like, about volleyball, basketball, they might be at different venues and it's happening simultaneously, but it's not going on. So you could just be like, wow, that guy just pinned him. He's undefeated still. And then you turn around and, whoa, this guy who right here has never won a title before. He just won a state title. And then the parade of champions they do on Saturday when they bring all the kids out. They announce them. It's a cool deal, man.
What's great is you also have, I hate to say the loser's bracket, but there is kind of a loser's bracket where you,
different medals.
You get a guy who's in third place.
He earns
that third place.
I always thought that like winning a medal at state wrestling would be one of the great, I'm not even talking a gold medal, but winning a medal in state wrestling to me would be one of the coolest high school achievements. Like state football champs, all that stuff, but there's something about it. It's you.
The individual.
It's you on your own. Like, yeah, you're coached up and all this stuff, but
it is
100% on you. And if you win, you did that.
It's one of those weird things where it's like it's an individual thing, but it's also a team thing because you're competing for your school, and if your school
has Eaton and
Valley, a lot of kids going every year, so you want your school to win. But ultimately, for you, it's about you.
Mm-hmm.
You have to perform. You have to defeat the person.
I understand the concept of overestimating it.
Because it's like in MMA. Technique wins. Doesn't matter how athletic you are.
Thank you for that, Michael. You are now our wrestling guru. That was very good.
Yes, and everybody has messed up ears there.
Well, that's why you wear the ear things. I'll tell you what, though. If you're ever about to get in a fight and you see a guy has that cauliflower ear, turn around, go away.
Well, I just turn around and go away anyway.
Well, yeah, you would do that if you saw like a, you know, a squirrel or something. You'd turn around. But I'm telling you, you're talking trash to somebody and you get a good look at them and you see those ears, turn around.
Just apologize.
You do not. You say, I'm sorry, and you move on with your life because those guys are dangerous. The worst part about wrestling, and I remember this vividly, is when you go up against a guy that smells bad. That's the worst. I had this dude from...
Was it Mark Schlereth?
What?
Mark
you
Schlereth.
You're being serious. You think I wrestled Mark Schlereth, who's no, not the, only 30, 20 years older
Mark
than
Schlereth
me.
I'm joking about Mark Schlereth and the odor thank you he for had when he was playing
it.
Football.
Derailing it. Thank you. High school kid. He was from the town of Holly. A small town like Cheyenne Wells. Good wrestler. We would have epic battles when I was in junior high. But he was a good kid. Liked him. But he was rank, man. I don't know. I mean, it, no matter what. And it was awful. So I always told my mom and dad, I'm like, he kind of smells like a goat. He kind of smells. So then the joke was like, he was goat boy. I always had to wrestle goat boy. Another funny story in wrestling, Michael. You know, before the tournament starts, everybody is out on the mat. You know, you're in your sweats and you're doing laps and warming up. You don't know, unless you're familiar with it, but in junior high, you didn't know anybody. You don't know who you're wrestling yet. You got the bracket, you got the names, you don't know who that is. And I was an all right wrestler. I was okay. I kept making it to the championship, and then I would lose. I finally got one first place medal, but just couldn't get over that hump. So we're sitting around, warming up, just talking. And we're junior high. You know, none of us look like Arnold. None of us are like jacked. I was wrestling like very lightweight. I don't even remember what I was. 130s or something. This guy comes out, you know, and I'm getting, you know, we're warming up. We see this dude and he just kind of catches everybody's eyes because he's bald. He's bald. His shoulders are like perfectly formed. He's jacked. He is a monster of a man. And we're all kind of just looking at him like, man, that dude looks mean. I would not like to wrestle him. So we get up and I, you know, finally the tournament starts and my weight class is called. And sure enough, I'm running over to the scores table to sign in and all that stuff and get my little band for my ankle. And that dude starts rolling up, strutting up to the table. And that's who I got to go against. And then once he took his hoodie off, just chiseled, jacked. Hear me? I got my spaghetti arms. This is going to suck.
Did you back out of the ring? Did you just like,
Should have. I should have. I look over at my mom because my mom hated wrestling, dude. She hated watching me win or lose. Anytime I was like getting jerked around or squeezed or whatever, she just hated it. So I look over at her. Right before I glance up at my mom, and she looked terrified, man. Like, nothing to get you ready to go wrestle a freaking Hulk than looking over at your mom, who's, like, putting her hands over her mouth like, oh, my gosh, that he's going to kill him. So I was like, thanks, Mom. Thanks for the confidence. My teammates were laughing, cracking up, because they knew I had to go against this dude. So we get out there. He's intense, man. You can just tell. And I'm like, dude, this is, okay, just don't die. That's number one rule. I was a decent wrestler. I was decent. Guy took me down in like 20 seconds. he goes right for my ankles, and I'm trying to sprawl out of it, you know, and then he just pulls my ankles in, boom, slams me down, puts me in some kind of a lock. He is squeezing so tightly on my body, Michael, I'm thinking, if I don't just like, put my shoulders on the mat to be pinned. Something's gonna burst here. I could feel it. So takes me down 20.
Did you tap out?
30. Well, no, you just get pinned. You just finally. They're trying to work you into pinning, so they get both of your shoulders flat on the mat. That's what you got to do. So he got me done. That was easy. Got up. I'm like, well, at least that's over with. I go over to shake the coach's hand. I kid you not. Coach is reading the newspaper. Wasn't even watching the match. Because he knew. He knew. He's like, no, yeah, that guy, my kid. So my mom, turns out my mom is sitting by the dude's dad, or he's like behind her. And she's overhearing them talk, and she's like, the dad's telling the people around him, he's like, yeah, he lifts weights, he does all that stuff, but the biggest thing we do, man, he's got sacks of potatoes, and we're potato farmers, and it's just, we put those bags on his shoulders, and he walks around all the time, and just a machine. He was trained. I wonder what happened to that dude. He probably went on to win a lot of wrestling tournaments after that. And that was kind of one of the reasons I decided, you know what, maybe basketball is for me, because that sucked. So I wasn't a great wrestler. I enjoyed it, but I certainly have a lot of respect for the dudes that do it, the girls that do it. The sport is a really tough sport, and it was the sport that I got the most nervous for every time. And it's an intense battle out there. So good luck to all the local Northern Colorado wrestlers competing. I'm excited to hear some of their stories tonight with Bruce Dick on the show from 5 to 6. And then you'll hear updates here on KFKA throughout the next couple of days. So we hope we get a lot of champs here in the Northern Colorado area. 11:49 the time, Michael. We'll take a short break, wrap up hour number one. I'll give you my wish list for the Broncos. Perfect world. I'm GM for a day. Here's my wish list. We'll go over that coming up. Also, are there ulterior motives for Adam Silver as to why he's pushing so hard on this tanking thing? We'll get into that, too. It's the whole show. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
The Nuggets, the Avalanche, the Rockies, the NCAA, and the NFL, and KFKA. And we aren't changing anytime soon. We have the sports broadcast you need on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Nico Carvacho, former CSU Ram, current pro basketball player, and you're listening to The Hall Show with my good friend, Brady Hall.
Lemons Heating and Cooling. I am a customer of theirs. They bailed me out twice. I had to deal with a heater situation and an air conditioning situation. And I live around the Timnath area. So they service a lot of the Northern Colorado area. So not just Greeley, but they're here in Greeley. And you're seeing their vehicles everywhere. And that means they're trusted. People are getting the good word out there and calling them. Free estimates are available at lemonsheatingandcooling.com. Or you can call them today, 970-567-0798. That's Lemons Heating and Cooling. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Michael, what do we have, a tie so far between the U.S. and Canada in the women's hockey gold medal game?
I did not see the score, but last I saw it was 0-0, and the shots on goal were
I think it's still
even
zero,
at 4.
Still 0-0. USA, yeah. Shots on goal 6 for USA, and Canada sitting at 8 right now. So, hey, that's rolling, and then we'll see what Team USA can do, man. That was fun. Seeing what they did in overtime. They win 2-1 in the best type of overtime. Do you like 3-on-3?
I like the 5-on-5 and 4-on.
3-on-3 is awesome. I love it.
I just like regular hockey. I want that to be kind of your overtime.
I think 3-on-3 is
if there's a game after that is regular season,
something.
I understand.
I'm gonna say something. If it was 3-on-3 all the time, I would be a diehard. I would love that. When I watch 3-on-3 hockey,
Chuck's,
I am
be the goalie
on the, well, yeah, you're gonna have like, 10-9 type of games, but that would be, I love the spacing when I'm watching 3-on-3 hockey. It's cool. I would be a diehard hockey fan. I like hockey well enough. I like to watch the Avs. But I'm not a diehard hockey fan. And I think if it was 3-on-3, I would be. Because
I'll sit and watch 3-on-3.
Yeah, oh yeah. No, I don't want the shootout.
I don't like the shootout. Let's do the 3-on-3. Make that the overtime.
Yeah. All right, top stories of the day coming up. Next, Adam Silver's pushing hard on this tanking thing. Is there an underlying reason as to why? We'll get into some of that coming up. Also, my Broncos wish list, as we're in free agency and the period getting close to that period. The draft's not that far away. All that coming up next here on The Whole Show, powered by Mosquito Joe.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.